Amen. Awesome. So the series that I'm starting is on the goodness of God. Today's message is the glory on the summit. We're going to look at Exodus 24, verses 9 through 18, and I'm going to use the New Living Translation for the main text today, Exodus 24, 9. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain again. They saw God. Look at this. They saw the God of Israel under his feet. There seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue lapis. Come on, ladies. How many of you like gemstones? How many would just can imagine seeing God on a slab of it so huge? It's like the whole floor, and it's just glowing. I mean, like, wow. And as clear as the sky itself. Verse 11. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. Yeah. Somebody say cool. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone in which I have inscribed the instructions and commandments, so you shall teach the people. Verse 13, so Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. And Moses told the elders, stay here and wait for us until we come back. And Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them. Verse 15, then Moses climbed up the mountain, and the cloud covered it. Look at verse 16. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 60 days. 6 days, excuse me. 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. And to Israel at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. I expected more than one person to comment on that one. And to the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. And he remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Come on. Whew. If you like word pictures, this is a text for you today. I want to talk about our new logo a little bit, and I want to share about the glory at the summit. And as we start this series on the goodness of God, I just feel like it all fits together. So verse 17, to start, to the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of God appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Isn't that powerful? If you could just stick our logo up here for a minute. You know, when you see this logo, you know, the logo is designed, and it has three peaks on it. You know, and I think when we look at it, it's not just, oh, cool, that's a mountain, looks cool, artsy. No, it's three peaks. We serve a triune God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to see that there's a significance about whether we embrace that full gospel and the full Trinity and all that God has for us. The logo has these three parts in it, and I think part of that is so that we can understand. If you look at this, there's a significance, even as it's surrounded with a circle. I mean, that circle, it always reminds me of that unbroken, unending covenant we have with God, that love of God, the goodness of God. And if we don't remember that in that Trinity, that the goodness of God surrounds, he's a good God. And if we don't understand that God's unfailing love is with us, that his goodness is with us, that he made a covenant with us, we are surrounded by his goodness and the goodness of God. And when I was talking about a theology adjustment, these people had a theology adjustment on the mountain. Exodus 24:12, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Stay there while I give you these tablets. The presence of the Lord was at the summit. And the Lord, he put an invitation to Moses to come up and to come up into. You know, and we say, well, okay, what's the big deal? You know, it's the presence of God. Never get familiar with the presence of God. Never get familiar with the presence of God. Moses made, I think, like 9 trips up and down the mountain. There's all different things that happened during those trips. We're going to look at a few of those today in this passage, and I want to talk on a few of those. But we should never get familiar with the presence of God. God called to Moses and said, come up into. I mean, think about it. What's the big deal about the presence of God? Well, when you don't have the presence of God, that's basically hell. when people ask you, they say, what's the big deal if I'm going to hell? You could go, man, there's fire, there's maggots, pain, it never stops, eternal pain, eternal tears. I mean, people will be like beating on you forever. I mean, you will never have an end to the agony. You know what? That, all that is like nothing compared to the vacuum of the lack of the presence of God. You know what hell is? No presence of God, no love, no peace, no joy. That's hell. So is the presence a big deal? Mm-hmm. What's heaven going to be like? Presence of God. Fullness. What's in the presence? Fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable. I mean, you can just get in the presence of God. Okay, happiness is dependent on circumstance. Joy doesn't depend on circumstance. When you read your Bible and you read how Paul and Silas got beat and they're in the bottom dungeon, inner prison, and they're worshiping and singing God, that's joy. It's not, their circumstance really stunk right then. Who wants to get beaten? Who wants to get jailed? Who wants to be in stocks? Who wants to be down in the stinkiest part of the prison where everything flows? No, thank you. But joy is not it's not subject to the circumstance. Come on, Zach. Joy is subject to the presence of a living God. And joy unspeakable speaks of a joy you can't even express it. You just get in the presence of God and you're just like, I mean, people just see you and they go, Steve, I don't know what it is about you. He's had people come up to him and say, you know, you're out here and you're doing my job and you got all this crew, but what is different about you? And he's like, thank you for asking. It's my God. Let me pray for you. Be healed. You know? And miracles happen. And a lady got healed of cancer. Why? Because they saw a joy that was unspeakable, right? Was that cancer? What happened? Am I messing up the story? It was cancer. Cancer got healed. Why? How come the cancer got healed? Because joy unspeakable was found on his face. And he could have been a grumpy, frumpy foreman out there just busting his chops at his people. If I get meaner, they'll do more work. No, the guy's got joy. We get that joy unspeakable. It comes from the presence of a living God. You can't buy it. You can't manufacture it. You can't even fake it. What else? In the presence of God, you get peace, a peace that surpasses our understanding. It goes way beyond our minds. It's a peace that when everything's crazy and you go, it's going to be good. It's a peace. And in the presence of God, think about it, the glory of God. When Moses came from the presence of God, he had a glory on him, and the glory was glowing. They had to put a veil. Everybody's freaked out. My goodness, he's glowing. You're glowing. Do you realize you're glowing? You look like you've been working to stand on a fray, nuclear stuff, static. Shut the lights off. We still see you running around. It's like, dude, you're glowing. He's like, oh, we have a glory that's not fading. Moses faded. Our glory doesn't fade. That comes from the presence of a living God. Everything in the old was only a type and a shadow of the new. We're a part of the new. I'm trying. Now think about this. Come on now. God beckoned Moses. He's still beckoning us to come up into the summit. He never stops. Think about it. How many people got to come into the presence? In the old, there was a curtain. There's a courtyard. And you can only get to the outer courtyard. And then there's an inner courtyard. And then there's a holies of holies. And only the holiest of holy can get into the holy of holies. Come on now. I knew I didn't grow up as the holy of holies. I'll be glad just to make it. You know, I'll hold the door. If the priest wasn't clean, he died in the presence. If he went in there, you went in the presence of God, and they tie a rope on him just in case he had some hidden sin, they could drag him back out, because I'm not dying to go get him. Really, priest is doing his thing in the bell ring, and all of a sudden, boom, he's dead. It's like, who's going in after him? Let's send Mikey. I don't know, man, but I'm not going in there after him. He's the high priest, and he didn't make it. I'm not going to make it. I don't have a chance. But we get to go into the presence, and there's an invitation. Because Jesus gave us, he tore the separation. The cross is our key. And now we get to come into the presence of a living God. And he beckons us like he beckoned Moses. Come into my presence. And his son died so we could. And so our vision says, you know, leading people to new heights. Oh, that's catchy. No, listen to it. We're leading people up the mountain. We're leading people. We're not just saying come to church. We're saying come to the presence of a living God. Moses led his two friends and 70 of the leaders, these elders, they were the leaders. They were the influencers. When God changed he changes the life of an influencer. When he makes an impact on an influencer, everyone under the influence of that person gets changed. Moses led his friends and these 70 influencers, and he led them up into the presence of God. And I just believe that when you look at the logo, that you're going to see this constant reminder of the presence of God that's waiting for us. That you're going to be reminded that God waits on the summit, that God is waiting to meet with us. And not just at church, you get to go meet with God every day. That what's special when we come together is a whole bunch of us that love the presence come together into a corporate gathering. And then it's like, man, my fire, your fire. It like just comes together. You with me? I'm certainly not preaching that the ground here is more holy than the ground I worshiped this morning or last night. But there's a dynamic of corporate when you come together in a corporate anointing. I personally didn't have the worship team and choir singing in my house this morning. But we had some serious presence, and, you know, we are you with me? So there's something really awesome to come together with your spiritual family and to let the fire of God and the power of God and the presence of God. There's something powerful about it. And I just want you to keep that and remember that and remember, what are we really doing? What are we really all about? Because we have to embrace the triune God. We can't just say, I love the Father, love the Son, love the teaching ministry, can't hang with the whole Pentecost stuff. It's too weird. When, I don't know if you were here last week, oh my goodness, God just like released such power in this body. It was such having Will Hart here. Oh my goodness, it was so awesome. But like, seriously, this guy's over here laughing and this one's over here crying. And like, you know, you could be like going, why the person scream? Because there's fire and there's a cloud. It's still the presence of God. We better figure out we need the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we need to embrace the whole Trinity. We don't get the choice to say, Father, I'm down for you, but your Son, forget that. There's a bunch of people, and I've talked with them, and with compassion, I tried to help them understand. You embrace the Father and the ministry up to here, but there is a new covenant. And he took our sin on the cross, so what are you doing with yours? If you reject the Son, you're rejecting salvation. And when you reject the Holy Spirit, you're rejecting the power he gave us on this earth. You're rejecting the comfort he gave us of the cloud. The Bible says he's the comforter. He's a cloud. He said he's the power. He's the fire. He's the presence of God here to help us. We can't reject that. We need to embrace the whole Trinity. So when you look at that and you see those three peaks, I want you to understand we're embracing the whole of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I started to say 60, but it's kind of in my brain. We need to understand, when Moses went back up to get the tablets, how many of you know that this was the day after the seventh Sabbath? How many? Seven Sabbaths is what? Seven times seven is? One more day makes 50 is Pentecost. Moses went up on Pentecost to receive the tablets. Here's the Father giving him, and Jesus came, and Jesus was the Word. Flesh, and it represented Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. God's always speaking. All of that preaches Christ into the new. God wants us to embrace all of it and the power that he has for the whole gospel. And so we honor the triune God. We honor the Father. We honor the Son. We honor Holy Spirit. We honor, and the invitation, it's there. And especially when, and not just maybe when things are going bad, but even especially when things aren't going so good. Because it says in Exodus 24:18, it says that Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed up higher in the mountain, and he remained on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. What's 40? 40 was what? The Israel walked in the desert how many years? And they refer to it as a day of trials, of testing. Jesus was in the desert how many days? 40. So 40 represents trial. 40 represents testing. Moses went up and he remained in the mountain 40 days. Can I just tell you that we get to go in, even when we're being tested, and not in spite of, but maybe even more when we are going through some 40-day time, get into the presence of God. Because God's just waiting for us, and the answer's there in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the testing. And the next thing that I saw out of this that I thought was worth mentioning is that, you know, that it needs to be more of God and less of us. In verse 18, it says, then Moses disappeared into the cloud. Oh. He climbed higher into the presence, into the cloud, and he disappeared into the presence of God. How do we fulfill John 3:30 when he said he must increase, but I must decrease? And John the Baptist is talking about Jesus. He came as a forerunner. He helped bring in that new covenant. He was that last prophet to bring it in. He brought it in, but he was saying, it's not all about me. I must decrease and he must increase. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? Like Moses, get more into the presence and there'll be less of you and more of him. The world wants more of him and less of us. Even when we look in the mirror and go, man, you're looking pretty good today. And boy, you're really anointed, worship leader. You're a really powerful teacher. How about more of him and less of us? How do we do that? How do we map that out? Like Moses, go higher into the presence. And you decrease and he increases. Jonathan Edwards correlated it to the sunrise, and I thought it was a beautiful picture. He was saying how, like, you know, when the sun starts to rise, what are we really seeing? I mean, when the moon's out before the sunrise, it's just a reflection of the sun, right? So at best, we're getting a reflection. So what happens as the sun rises, we still only get like a little bit of the rays. We get a little bit of light, but it's not really the full manifestation. But as that sun crests over the sunrise and comes to rise, now we get the full benefit of the S-U-N. And the S-U-N shines on us and it manifests and we get the heat off the S-U-N. But it's like the S-O-N. It's the same thing. The more the sun, we can be a reflection and you can get a little bit. But when you get all of it, it's a lot. Are you here? I want all of him and less of me. And the answer is for us to get more in the presence and just disappear in the presence of God. Woo. Come on, God. How do you do Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified. But here's Paul. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do you do that? We get into the, we do the Moses. Do a Moses. Do a Moses. Find the presence and get it lost in it. Come on, the more we go higher in the presence of God, the more we pursue him, the more people see God in our lives and less of us. So number one, first point of this sermon, is position ourselves for his goodness. Really, if I could say one thing that I want you to walk away with, this is the one thing. Position ourselves for his goodness. Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He could have remained and he could have gone higher, but he climbed higher into the presence. He wasn't happy with a little, he climbed higher. He wasn't happy just getting his feet in the presence or just getting a little. He climbed higher in the presence. We lead people to new heights. Like Paul said, I press on towards the upward call. We have to press sometimes to get more of God and more of his presence. Positioning ourselves for his goodness. How come it just seems like some people are experiencing more of the goodness of God and some people aren't? Is God any less good to some people than others? Does his goodness change? He doesn't shift in shadow. There's no changing. It's not God. Those who position themselves experience the goodness of God more than those who don't. Those who position themselves. We have to learn to position ourselves for the goodness of God. God was on the summit. God's presence was there. Yet from the bottom of the mountain, it looked different than it did from the top. at the same time, there was multiple experiences happening. And the closer you were to the presence, the greater your experience in His goodness was. And I was just talking to some parents before the service about a child who didn't really understand because they watched the presence of God, and this person got touched, and they screamed, ah, boom, and hit the ground like the fire of God hit them last week. And then the other one's like laughing, and then the speaker's like, do you want some of this? And this little girl's like, mm-mm. She's probably like, can you give me the laughter part and happy joy stuff that's happening over here with Brittany? I'll take that. I don't want to scream and hit the ground and look like I just saw a monster. Because they have to process. But we have to teach and we have to understand our theology that God is good. And even if that we're weeping, it's because sometimes He's taking something from us that we needed to. Are you here? We have to bring it all. We have to bring that, and we have to embrace that because it looks different at different ends. The same thing that was happening on looked different from the bottom than it looked at the top. So view number one, we can see Him from the distance. No, I don't want to just see God from the distance. I want to see the fire of God, but if it means that I'm at the bottom of the mountain and God's presence at the top, I want to take a hike. I want to climb. I want to get closer. I want more. And so in verse 17, it says, to the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. So all the people saw like a consuming fire. It's obvious when God is doing something and you can tell something's happening. This reminds me like the burning bush. There's a fire, but the bush isn't burning. Something's happening, which is awesome. Can't be denied. It's a phenomenon. There's the bush, there's a fire, but the bush is not burning up and there's no smoke. So at the same time, here's this two dynamics. Which one will we have? Will we have the view from a distance? And then the next view we see is, so the first one is we see Him from a distance, which all the people did. The second view was we see Him close enough to see the details. It says in verse 11 or verse 9, that Moses, Aaron, his friends go up with the 70 elders, and they saw God of Israel under His feet, seemed to be the surface of brilliant blue lapis and clear as the sky. So they saw Him enough to see details. They saw Him close enough where He wasn't just a little blob on the mountain way away, but they saw Him. They saw enough to detail that He had feet and that He was standing on the surface. And so they saw this, and so they got close enough, and then they noticed the God of Israel, and they didn't destroy them. In fact, they had a covenant meal, eating and drinking in His presence. So these leaders or these influencers, they ate and drank with Him and did not die. They saw Him, they ate, they drank from the goodness of God. You say, well, it was all figurative. No, not too much to just say it was all figurative. No, they ate and they drank. And if you really study it, you'll see angels appeared and they ate the meal with them. They prepared for them. Angels eat and drink, and they ate and drank with God. Study your Bible. They had a doctrinal shift because they believed His goodness from that point on. I mean, they did barbecue with God. Carne asada status. He probably just cooked it. They ate with God. They came down like, we ate. And what is eat and drink with God? That's communion. They went into His presence and they ate and they drank with God. It's pointing towards communion. We have koinonia, fellowship, and we eat and we drink. And then Moses, they all went back down, but Moses went back up to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses got invited back. They ate with God. Never mind, I won't go there. Moses got invited back. See, these guys were afraid of the presence for a reason. Exodus 19:12 says, they say that it says that you need to take heed so that when they went up the mountain, they said, these guys don't even touch the base of the mountain. And Exodus 19:12 says, whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. So these people understood you could die. Like I told you about the Holy of Holies. You go in there, you're not all right with God, you die. And God didn't want anyone to die. So He said, don't even let them get close to the mountain. We're not even going there. Moses can come up. The rest of you don't even touch it. So they had a fear of that. They had a fear of seeing God because they didn't want to die because they knew who they were. They knew their own depravity. And even the best of them knew it. And so these guys had this view. So one, you have people from a distance. Second, you have people that are close enough. But the third view is the view that I really think we get. And that third view is up close and personal. And that's where, if you look in verse 12, it says, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. Don't just come on the mountain. Don't just see me from just come up to me. Come up to me. See, Moses was a friend of God. Okay, come on, you guys have friends, you have Facebook friends and friends, acquaintances, but then you have close friends. Friends you eat with. You have friends and you have close friends. So Moses was a close friend of God. And so Exodus 24:18 says Moses disappeared into the cloud. Wow. This reminds me of Azusa Street. There's the book called They Told Me Their Stories, which is so awesome. You have to read it. It's just them telling about the presence of God. And when this revival hit right in the early 1900s, there was a visible sign of God's presence, this Shekinah glory all in the room. You say Shekinah. It's not a biblical name. It basically means the abiding, blah. He dwells. It's speaking about God's abiding presence. And that cloud manifested and was present for like 3.5 years. There was a tangible cloud when they went in the meeting, sometimes a foot thick, sometimes filled the whole room. They could just see the presence of God. There was a cloud of the Shekinah cloud of his presence. And as I was reading these stories of these people, the kids that were there and the teens who saw incredible miracles, they were talking about it, how they, two of them were giving their testimony, how they were sitting in the back, like my son Zach's right there, you know, and Joel, and they played hide and seek in the glory cloud. They're in the back of the room, and the minister, Seymour's up here ministering, and the presence is there, and they ducked down and hid in the glory cloud. They went under, they disappeared in the presence of God. Isn't that powerful? I mean, it's just fun. They just had fun in it. One guy tried to bottle it, and he went home with it, and the next day it was gone. You know, they tried to pick it up, and you couldn't blow it with a fan. The presence was so thick. But, you know, Seymour was talked about how he'd kind of play with it like this with his feet and minister. But I can just imagine God, for some reason, wanted to just show his manifest presence. Isn't that awesome? And I love revivals. I love the Welsh revivals. You hear stories of Welsh revivals. Study the Welsh revival. Oh, my goodness. I'm Welsh. I'm like, awesome. So I'm like, somebody back there was probably part of it. I know that. The Toronto revival, the Canadians. I got some Canadians in the house today, eh? Come on. Toronto revival. There was a huge difference because the Toronto revival, as I hear, and I know the Steingarts were majorly there. It's your uncle and people that were worship leaders or people that were involved in that whole Toronto revival. Oh, my goodness. The physical, tangible presence of God. Because we were talking with stories about people who've been there, and I'm always amazed. And so I ask questions. Just getting out of their car, sometimes the presence would hit them in the parking lot. They didn't even make it in the church. I mean, when no one's there and the janitor's there, the presence was so strong, they were just like, just the presence. The presence was physically there the whole time, 24/7. Why? Why? When we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like. A little bit of heaven came to earth, and our job is to bring heaven to earth every day. So we don't have to see the physical presence to bring the presence. But sometimes it showed up. And it just manifests in a powerful way. And so we need to be like Moses and get up close and personal. We need to get into the presence. I just want to disappear in the presence like that. And I know that that's just a type and a shadow. But, oh, what a powerful testimony. You know, his presence is a constant. It's just we're not. So if you're feeling an Adam and Eve thing, it's you who moved, not God. So that's why I said if you get anything, I'm saying position yourself for the presence, because God's love is constant, and we must continually position ourselves in his presence. We have to hunger for his presence to position ourselves. Sometimes the presence and the greatest miracles, like we talked about it on some missions trips where, man, I'm gone. I prayed for a million people, not literally, but seem like, you know, we joked around the million Brazilians. It's like 1 or 2 in the morning. We prayed for like a million Brazilians. And then like the last ones, the came so heavy and high. If literally 4 people didn't hold the guy up, he would have been thrown to the ground. It felt like 500-pound weights on our hands because of that Shekinah presence of God. The glory of God coming with such a heavy, weighty glory. It speaks of a weightiness of God's presence when he's there. And we need hunger for that. But I could have just been like the guest speaker who just like, you know, see, I'm too cool for this. We got to go. And, you know, but we stayed there to the last one praying and praying. Sometimes you got to hunger for it. Sometimes you got to hunger. You got to get up and hunger for it. You got to, you know, oh, well, I've been to church. How about coming back? Because God rocks again anyway, you know. When there's an impartation meeting, come back. I'm too tired. What the pumpernickel? We're not asking you to preach. I'm asking you to come in the room and receive. When you come into the presence, you get refreshed. Wait, I'm too tired to let God refresh me. I don't understand that. But if you're hungry, the hungry ones seem to get filled. Why? 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 Just because, you know, Jagger's just one of those. How come Jagger gets it all? Because he's hungry. He's got more favor. No, no, he just positions himself. He's like, I want more, God. I want more, God. And so God gives him more. Position yourself. Hunger positions you. These are ones you can take home. This is homework stuff, okay? Prayer positions you. We have prayer leaders here. Taylor's a prayer leader. Why does Taylor always get blessed so much? Because he positions himself. Why is Brittany over there getting all the joy tonight? Because she's one of our prayer leaders. She positions herself. Prayer positions you for the presence. It positions you for his goodness to receive of it. Worship. Well, Pastor Andrew, he's so sensitive to the anointing. Because he positions himself. Oh, I can see the presence all over him. He lives for the presence. Joshua wouldn't leave. He'd go to the table, he wouldn't leave. The guy doesn't leave. Serious, play the kids. Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors. There's Pastor Andrew. It's like Joshua's status. Why did Joshua get it all? He positioned himself. Want it all? God, all of it. And when you can't get more, I want more. Prop me up so I can get more, somebody. And the word positions us. If we don't get it, the word of God will help position us for it. And meditating on his word positions us. And when you meditate on the word, I really need to like think and sit. And if I get a couple days of meditating, or a couple days a day, how do you get a couple days a day? A couple hours a day, I need to just be really quiet because I can like do a million things. I can multitask with the best of you. Ask my wife. I can kick it into gear and multitask. So I have to purposely like find neutral. I do that in worship, and I do it when everyone's asleep and I wake up really early and I meditate. Really early, I'm down there in the dark this morning, sitting down there with my green tea and watching the sun come up. We need to meditate on the word of God, and we need to hear God's voice. We need to come from that place so that positions us. I hope this is helping somebody. And meditating on his goodness, we need to make those declarations. I can't wait for the goodness bookmark that's coming. I'm looking at Pastor Andrew because he's the one who's going to put it together. Well, I'll put them here. You know, I can't wait for that one because meditating on his goodness is so powerful. And number two, the cloud and the fire. I already preached it. You know, as Moses went up, we need to like, but we need to recognize one thing. The cloud and the fire, there's a diversity. And I talked about perspective of geographical location. But sometimes the same thing looks different. So when the children of Israel are there, in day, the Shekinah presence of God looked like what in the day? So it was a cloud by day because we get comfort. The Holy Spirit's our comforter. But at night, it's dark out, and it was what? Fire. And the fire brings light at night. You need fire. We need light. We need, are you here? Cloud, fire, looks tremendously different. Shekinah glory of God, same thing. So that's why in one meeting, someone may be crying and someone may be laughing. Don't be afraid, it's the presence of God. Matter of fact, when someone's crying and laughing, you'd be like, that's the Shekinah for sure. It's not human humor that's kicking them into gear. It's the presence of God. Are you here? So that's okay if they have a different experience. The key is that we need to press for the presence and experience the things of God and embrace it. I love that one of our prayer leaders was talking about this light that went up and down, and I asked if she read the book. She said no. But in that book, they told us their stories. Over Azusa Street, they called the fire department like three times at least, and they said there's, and people saw flames coming off the building. So when God was just moving and things were shredding in the building, there was like 50-foot flames coming off the top of the building. and fire coming down from heaven and fire coming up from the building. And so this one girl that was telling her story said that she was asking one of the leaders, why does the fire department keep coming in here looking for a fire? You know, because they busted the meeting with their whole fire department thing and there's no fire. They're like, dude, we're having church. And so she went outside. He said, come on outside. They went outside and went like a block away and looked. And that she saw this like 50-foot flames going up and this fire coming down. And it was like the fire of the saints going up, meeting the fire of heaven coming down. We get a part of that. Our prayers ignite. Our prayers are like that incense. Our prayers are like those. We need our worship, our devotion. We get to, there's a two-way reciprocation. And so we get to do that. We get to be a part of that. We get to help to let our fire reach towards heaven and his fire come down in our lives and empower us in our meetings and in some of the greatest outpourings. And they prophesied the greatest outpouring that's going to dwarf the Acts outpouring, the latter and the former and the latter, that's going to dwarf it. And even Seymour, who was the head of that Azusa Street revival, God was the head, but the one who was used the most, prophesied in about 100 years. That's about 100 years ago. That was 1906 to 1910. Some argue a little bit here and there, but that's like 104 years. This is about 100 years. Are you getting this? I haven't got anything else. Could you stand to your feet?